Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I am Ross Bowlin, here with producer and co-host extraordinaire Cade Orris. Cade, how are your balls?
Not great. They hurt right now, but that's the thing about my balls, Ross. They always hurt. Should probably go and get that checked out, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, what? Why are you smiling about it?
Oh, no, I'm just fucking with you. No, they're fine. My balls are fine.
Been watching much porn the last week?
No, not really. I kind of just, you know, picture you taking me out back and spanking my thick, juicy ass, and that's all the material I need.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's enough for you, huh?
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Well, that's good, because many of you, depending on which state you're in, may already know that governments are taking steps to curb pornography access for minors. And in Texas, where Cade and I are located, just last week, a new age verification law went into effect, requiring porn sites to check visitors' ages to ensure they are at least 18 years old and to display a health warning that porn impairs human brain development, which is, that's something.
Yeah, that is a thing. Yeah, that happens.
I haven't actually looked at how the age verification works, but I assume you have to insert your driver's license number or something.
Yeah, well, back in the day, you know, just be like, click here if you're 18.
Yeah.
And that's all it took.
Right, even when you go to, an alcohol website, it'll be like, are you 21 years old? And you just press yes,
yeah,
even if you're not,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah. Right. Now, rather than comply, some porn sites, like Pornhub, have pulled their services to Texas entirely. Sad. Very unfair. But in all seriousness, very, very good for the general populace, I would say. We're seeing more and more steps being taken to protect kids from porn, which anyone who grew up in my generation with unfettered access to the internet knows is probably for the best. And now we're seeing more and more steps to protect kids from social media as well. So here's our insane headline for today. Florida law bans social media for minors under 14. Florida, Texas, and Florida making moves I can actually support. I did not see this coming, and I'm absolutely elated, yeah. Kate.
Who would have thought?
Seriously, though, it's wild. After a several-year run of just god-awful laws getting passed in both of these states, book burnings, abortion access restricted for women, finally, they're doing something I can actually agree with. From the Wall Street Journal, it says the legislation prohibits social media accounts for some teens regardless of parental consent. So Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed legislation on Monday, which was yesterday as of recording, that prohibits people under 14 years of age from having social media accounts regardless of parental consent, one of the most restrictive laws aimed at curbing social media access for minors. Now, there have been, you know, a number of studies and a significant amount of data that's come out over the past really decade that shows the damage that social media can do to mental health, what it's done to suicide rates, particularly with minors, and how much bullying takes place and how much, you know, inappropriate material that kids get exposed to on social sites. So this is something that was probably going to happen at some point. I just wasn't aware that it was even on the table in Florida, and that there's apparently laws in other states that are similar. But yeah, so to continue reading this article from Wall Street Journal, it says under the new law, social media companies are required to close accounts believed to be used by minors under 14. The platforms must also cancel accounts at the request of parents or minors, and all information from the accounts must be deleted. The law is set to take effect on January 1st of 2025, so next year. Minors who are 14 or 15 years old can obtain a social media account with parental consent, according to the new law. Accounts already belonging to teens of that age must be deleted if a parent or guardian hasn't consented. There's a quote from DeSantis that says, being buried in those devices all day is not the best way to grow up. It's not the best way to get a good education. And I could not agree more with Ron DeSantis, which is bonkers. The law doesn't name specific platforms, but targets social media sites that rely on features such as notification alerts and autoplay videos that encourage compulsive viewing, which in my experience is all of them. I'm not aware of a social platform that doesn't have notifications or one that doesn't have autoplay videos. Like on Instagram, when you're just scrolling, the videos just play.
Right.
You don't have to press play. They just play. And if you go to like the Discover feed in Instagram and you click on one and it plays, when it's done, it just takes you to another one. And it's just the design is literally to suck up as much of your time as possible.
That is to keep you on there.
It's the whole point.
Keep you engaged with it, yeah.
Which from a business perspective makes some degree of sense, but it's different than other content in the way that like when you come on the Ross Boland podcast, you come listen. Our job, Kate and I, is obviously to keep you engaged, keep you listening. We want you to hear the whole episode, right? But you've chosen to listen to, or if you're on YouTube, watch this show. When you're on social, you're just getting served stuff based on the algorithm. It's not necessarily because you chose it specifically, because you can get exposed to all manner of random nonsense that you didn't necessarily want, which I'll get to in a minute. Now, I've been shitting on social media for years, having been engulfed in it for my entire 13-year professional career. This shit is evil, right? Overall, it is. It is also, unfortunately, the place we can most effectively market all of our shows, and I think that most effectively people can market any product in this day and age. But it is straight-up evil for the most part. So it's also easier for me to say this when RBP has been shadow banned into oblivion on most of these social media platforms. But fuck social media. I will absolutely, as a parent, keep my kids off of it for as long as possible simply because I know it too well. Like, I know what's happening on all of these apps, and they're all sneaky fucking evil, Cade. Like, right now, TikTok is facing this a ban, right? It's been happening for, like, over a year now. They've been trying to get TikTok banned.
Right.
It's already not allowed on devices within, like, Capitol grounds. And stuff, government workers can't have TikTok, that kind of thing, because they're scared of the Chinese, which it's not that I disagree with the overall premise that having a social media platform that most Americans are on being potentially monitored by like the Chinese government is a bad thing. That is a bad thing. We don't want that. That's not a good thing. That's a very powerful tool in the hands of a country that is by and large not friendly with us. And you don't know what they're going to do with it. So anyway, ironically, at this point, as a guy who's on at least Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok every single day of his life, Monday through Sunday, every fucking week, I can tell you, TikTok is the one where I get served the most positive and least toxic amount of content. It's bizarre. It's like their algorithm... Just being honest with my own perspective based on my experience here, their algorithm is the one that actually serves you shit that you are interested in.
Yeah.
So like on the Oysters, Clams, and Cockles TikTok account, for example, the only thing I ever get served is shit related to TV, movies, and entertainment. I'm not getting just random stuff that it's like, all right, now let's get him hooked on this. No, it doesn't really do that.
Well, sometimes, like, if it wants to, like, show you something new, then, like, it wants to see, like, if you engage with that, then it's going to show you
it'll
more.
Test you.
Like, a lot of it is stuff that you are already interested in.
The bulk majority of it, I would say. At least again, in my experience. Whereas, like, on Instagram, it's just a fucking free-for-all. The algorithm on the gram sucks. Like, I'm just out here trying to be a good husband and father, and the gram is like, here, look at these bouncing titties, or check out Ice Spice twerking, or how about the latest update on Blueface and his baby mama? And it's just shit that I'm like, I don't know how it predict. I swear to God, if I, like, compliment my wife's breasts, because my phone can hear me, right, then Instagram is like, this guy needs more titties in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Discover feed is just riddled with, like, horny shit, and I'm just like, none of this is not... For the same reason that, like, porn can be bad, that's not good. You don't want that, necessarily. And even if you do, it's not good for you. Whatever that's doing to your brain cannot be positive. So, like, the algorithms on most of these sites... Now, Twitter, X, whatever, it got really, really bad when Elon Musk first took over. Like, the Discover feed was, like... the most violent, disturbing, random shit you like. It was like shootings and like
also very political too.
People getting hit by cars. Yeah, just extreme political views. It got really, really weird there. It has gotten better, I've noticed. Like they've definitely taken steps to curb the extreme shit. And like my For You feed on X is no longer just a cesspool of dog shit. But it's been, you know, 6 months of me intentionally avoiding dog shit to get it that way. So maybe that's just my hard work and not theirs. I'm not really sure. But my point is that you know, with all the focus on TikTok, like to me, as somebody who's, again, on all of these every day, Instagram is far and away the worst.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with your Discover page, because mine is just like fucking like a bunch of superhero shit, a lot of music stuff, and like movies. Like you gotta figure out something with your Discover
look
page.
At this. It's like shoes, but
okay,
then like
yeah,
there's just... There's just horny shit everywhere, bro. It's everywhere. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with yours. Mine's all right. Like, it's not great.
But and here's the... Like, when I scroll through it, I don't even think I have to click on this shit.
No, it just knows. It just sees your eyes.
That's... If you put bouncing boobs in front of a straight man, his eyes are gonna go...
Yeah, it's gonna glance at least.
That direction, right, at least momentarily. It's... I can't be helped. It's biological. And it's manipulative, is what it... Anyway, bigger point. Adults, we have all kinds of issues we have to deal with in the world, and it is what it is. But kids shouldn't have to deal with these same things. And getting it... Like, when I was young online, and there were no rules, it was bad. It was bad. As I've talked about on the show before, I got into all kinds of weird spaces on the internet when I was like 14, 15 years old, when the internet first exploded. First of all, everybody I knew... Every dude I knew that had Napster before you, or LimeWire, before you went to school every day, you would just, and this was usually on the family computer,
right? Yeah.
You would just load up your LimeWire with like 30 porn downloads.
Oh, okay.
And then you'd leave. And then you'd come home and hope that like one or two of them had actually downloaded all the way. And there was nothing to stop that from happening. Huh. And
see, I just used LimeWire for like illegal music. Not...
Yeah, but you were like 7.
True, yeah.
If you were a teen at that point, it was ugly in there, I promise you. Also, things like AOL chat, even before LimeWire and shit. As I've talked about on the show before, I would go into the lesbian chat rooms and pretend to be a lesbian and have cyber sex with probably other small teen boys pretending to be lesbians, which is not good.
Just two dudes pretending to be lesbians.
Absolutely, 100%. There's no way in hell that it was actually a bunch of lesbians. But anyway, it just... The internet is one of these things that's like... Like, I was talking to Dan, the ad salesman, earlier in the Bowen Media office about how, like, by and large, I'm a person who believes that people should be left alone to do what they want to do. That human beings should take personal responsibility of their lives and make good decisions. But in the age that we're in now, with the internet and all the social media and all the bullshit that goes on in the world, in my experience, again, having worked exclusively online in the online entertainment space for 13 years now, I don't want to say most people, but a large amount of people, a lot of people, are not really capable of making decisions that are best for themselves. Especially with the internet, where it's like, it almost feels like this loophole where you're just like, I can do whatever on here. Nobody's ever going to know, which we know is also not true. But like, people don't make good choices, man. And if you can, especially children, especially young people, and if you can restrict access in a way that positively benefits the overall population, then you should. And so some of these states, like Florida, going and doing that is awesome, in my opinion. And obviously, like, I don't know how you could argue against the porn thing. Like, why would you not have age verification on porn websites?
Yeah, well, for Texas, like, I actually did, like, check it out, like, a couple of weeks ago, and, like...
Just for research.
Yeah, research purposes only. Like, you can't, like, I can't even go on there, because they're, like,
Depends on which site you're on. Like, Pornhub, they shut down their whole shit.
Well, yeah, all the, like, the major ones are, like, you, like, can't even go on here.
Yeah.
Just...
Gives you a weird message about, like, the law.
Yeah, it says, like, there's not, like, a good way to, like, verify people's ages without, like, I think, like, having to, like, give them, like, all your information, which why would you want to give all your information to, like, a porn site? Well, I know
if
some
you
want to
watch porn,
yeah,
that's the exchange.
I guess, yeah, but, yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see what they do with that, but, like, also, like, how am I going to be able to watch all my stepmom and stepsister and stepdaughter and step-aunt and step-grandma porn? Like, where am I going to get that now?
That's why this needs to exist.
Yeah.
Specifically.
For that, yeah.
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 It's got to stop. It's got to stop. Enough is enough. And I mean, like, the more research that's gone into, like, what viewing pornography does to your brain, what, like, I don't think you could possibly find anything that says it's good for adults. So what the fuck? Who even knows how badly that's damaging children? And, you know, somebody's got to step up and do the right thing. And it's rare that our government actually does that. And in this case, they actually are. You wish they would do something about, like, you know, gun control.
Sure, yeah.
But this is nice.
At least they're doing something.
This is nice.
Yeah.
You know, saving the kids from the evils of social media, from Zuckerberg and his evil titty-bouncing, blue-face, twerking Ice Spice algorithms, and restricting porn use to adults. That's huge.
How old were you when you had your first, like, social media account? Like, was it, like, MySpace or something like that?
Oh, it was when Facebook became... So Facebook started out, it was, like, only college students, right? It started right. Wherever he was, Harvard, and then expanded to all the Ivy League schools and then expanded from there. But you had to be a college student with a college email address, .edu, to get a Facebook account. And then it became available to high schoolers when I was in high school. So I got it, like, I want to say, like, junior year. So whenever Facebook made that leap beyond colleges, that was my first social media account.
But you didn't do MySpace?
I had a MySpace, but I wasn't a MySpace person.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, making one of these. I felt like it was, like, more for, like, emo kids and...
Okay.
Yeah, when sure. It started, the vibe was, it was not, like, mainstream. It was, like, a little alternative. So, wasn't for me.
Gotcha.
Really. I knew a lot of people who went hard on MySpace, though. But that was a weird place.
Yeah, that was before my time.
It was a weird place, man. But Facebook, when it started out, was, like, pure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I...
Connect with your friends...
Yeah, I had Facebook when I was like 12 or 13, I think.
Yeah, see, that's
crazy. When I started, yeah. Again, like, there wasn't, like, anything, like, terrible, like, on there, like, at that point. Yeah, or at least I didn't, like, know
about
it. It
was pretty simple at that point compared to now, right, where it's kind of just like everywhere else. Like, when I get on Facebook, which I do occasionally at this point, because a lot of my age group they don't post anything on Instagram. Nobody posts.
Mm-hmm.
But they do post shit on Facebook. So if I want to keep up with people, their families, their kids, Facebook is where I go to check that shit out. So, like, every once in a while, I'll be like, I wonder what this person from college is up to. They don't have a fucking Instagram. I have to go to Facebook. So I'm on there more often now than I have been ever. Like, really, since I was maybe in my early 20s, maybe even earlier than that. But my feed is just random bullshit. You know what I get a lot of on Facebook? It's just Tesla news.
You, like, follow them or something, or is it just,
I think,
like,
I joined a group at one point, like, Model 3 owners.
Oh, just a Facebook group of people that own that same car?
Yeah. And
nice.
then now it's just riddled with Tesla news. And then a lot of the bullshit that I get on Instagram, minus the titties. So it'll be, like, blue face updates in my Facebook feed, but nothing that's actually, like, of any relevance to anyone I actually know.
you just gotta like mute the word Blueface. Or
at this point,
you gotta,
yeah, something has to be.
You
done.
Just gotta block every account that posts.
Can't
stuff
even
about
name
him.
A single one of his songs. I know way too much about his personal life, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Well, but it's less fucked now, though.
I guess, yeah. No, we're moving in the right direction.
We gotta stay on this path. Censoring the internet. Which is another thing that's strange about the Florida situation. Like, if you follow the ex, you know, Twitter saga of Elon Musk, who's by and large considered to be like a right-wing guy, he's completely anti-censorship. He wants as little censorship on the internet as possible. He believes that, like, censorship online is anti-free speech. So I don't know what he thinks about this particular situation with Florida and them banning social media for minors, but I have to imagine he's not stoked on it because he owns a social media site.
Yeah, he wants as many users as possible.
Anyway, it's obviously a very Republican state, Florida, that's doing this. So it's going to be a fascinating thing to follow. Also, Florida does anticipate being sued by every single one of these social media companies, but they believe that they will be able to win and get this law instituted January 1st, 2025. So just something to keep an eye on, something I'm fascinated by. And, you know, as much joking as we do in here, I really don't think kids should be on any social media platform. And if it was up to me, I'd say like 18.
Damn, okay.
You need to be a fucking adult.
Yeah.
These places are riddled with adult content. How the fuck are you going to be a kid on there and know left from right? I don't see it. I wouldn't want it for my kids. And now that I have them, I can say that confidently. I hope my kids never have social media. I think that's the world I would like my children to live in, but it's never going to fucking happen.
You're not going to give them the iPads and
they own everything.
Let them go crazy on there?
No, a five-year-old's got an iPad, but it's like restricted to hell. Like you can't get shit.
Yeah, until she figures out how to bypass it.
Yeah, but that'll be years from now.
I don't get
her
smart.
By then I'll have strapped a bomb to the iPad and thrown it into the woods.
Don't just need to just throw it in the woods. You need to attach a bomb to it too,
yeah,
just in case, for safe measure.
Could find it in the woods.
Yeah,
still work. Anyway, moving on. When I was younger, I dressed like an absolute bum. Looked like a total doofus at almost all times, especially at formal events when I had to wear a suit. I had no idea how to buy a good suit, how to use a tailor, find a tailor, how to do anything. I was ignorant. But now I know where to go when I want to look my best. Indochino. Today's episode is brought to you by Indochino. It's time to start your style redemption story and look great at your next big event. Upgrade that off-the-rack suit sitting in your closet with a fully customized, perfect-fit suit from Indochino. Measure yourself in 10 minutes or visit a showroom, wear your new look right out of the box, and keep your budget unbusted with custom suits starting at just $399. I can tell you personally, the Indochino experience is incredible, whether you go to one of their showrooms and get measured up or you do it from home and order online. I have done both now. Went to the Indochino in Austin my first time, but for my most recent order, measured myself at home, shopped strictly online. The end result is still the best custom clothing experience I've ever had. If you need a suit, if you need a jacket, if you need a shirt, if you need pants, Indochino has them, and they're made just for you. Just last week, I was looking for some nice pants that are a little more colorful than what I currently have in my wardrobe, so I grabbed myself a pair of Indochino's Halton Rose Chinos. Customize my buttons and side pockets, and they actually shipped yesterday, so I should have them soon. Very stoked to get those and show them off. Dress better than the other guys with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code RBP to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's 10% off at Indochino. Indochino.com, code RBP, details of this deal and link in the description below this episode. So I saw a story that is not a news story necessarily, but it's one that like gets cycled through my algorithm every 6 months or so.
Along with the blue face. And
yeah, yeah.
Ice Spice, yeah.
Yeah. It's about Walter and Skyler White's house, you know, from Breaking Bad. Did you watch Breaking Bad, Cade?
Yeah, I rewatched it.
Oh, like, recently. Yeah. Stressful.
A few months ago, yeah.
Stressful. Really stressful stuff. But I can't stop thinking about this story. So the house from the show, the White residence, which is located at 308 Negra Arroyo Lane, served as the home, it says, of the White family during the hit show Breaking Bad, housing Walter, his wife Skyler, one of the most hated television characters of all time, their son Walt Jr., breakfast aficionado, and their infant daughter, Holly, who played almost no part in the show whatsoever. Now, since the show first aired in 2008, it says the house has become a major attraction for Breaking Bad fans. Now, this is a thing. It's a thing with, like, the Sopranos house, for example, which, to my understanding, is actually available to, like, rent for events and such. Like, I follow this one, like, Sopranos influencer who rented out the house. I believe it was for a Halloween party or something last year. And he invited people, or you had to buy tickets, maybe is what it was. And you had to dress up as like a Sopranos character and show up and I assume get drunk.
Yeah, no, it's probably like a lot of like gabagool and pasta there.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. All fully themed out. Like he did a great job. But the same thing has happened with this Breaking Bad house, except I kind of just assumed it was a set. Right, like, or maybe they use the outside of the house for
it's like
visuals,
an establishing shot.
But yeah, establishing shot. But then I assumed it was like all a set, and maybe that's not the case. Either way, the house that they used, even if it was just an establishing shot, people actually live in it. Their names Francis and Luis Padilla have resided in this house since 1973. It says in 2017, Joanne Quintana, the homeowner's daughter, revealed to a news station in Albuquerque the challenges they faced, including dealing with hundreds of daily visitors who came to take photographs, reenact scenes from the show, and even throw pizzas on the roof. You know the famous scene where Walter flings that pizza and lands perfectly on the roof, which, by the way, was I think that was one take, and it's like a very famous TV shot for that reason. It just landed perfectly like that or whatever. It says the situation escalated to the point where in 2017, the homeowners erected a 6-foot iron fence to deter visitors. So the show ended when?
I want to say definitely before 2017.
Yeah, 2013. September 29th, 2013 was the air date of the final episode of the show. So they made it 4 years past the finale before they were like, fuck this, and they had to build a full-blown... six-foot iron fence all the way around the house to deter visitors. So now people just drive by, but at least they don't, like, walk onto the property, throw pizza on the roof, whatever. The story also says, despite rumors of rudeness, Breaking Bad's creator Vince Gilligan insists that the homeowners are actually quite pleasant, only resorting to rudeness when provoked.
Yeah, imagine having a bunch of pizzas thrown on your roof. It'll
get you.
Yeah, it'll piss you off a little bit.
Yeah.
After a while, yeah.
Yeah, after years and years and years of this. As of 2024, you can still look this up. Like, if you just type in, like, Breaking Bad House on Google.
Yeah. There's like a Reddit. We did just share the address with everyone, so if they want to go check it out for themselves.
Well, there's like, a Reddit thread of, like, people documenting their experiences, and, like, people are still driving by this fucking thing, still visiting it, and those people... as far as I know, still live there, which is bonkers. Maybe the house has like sentimental value or whatever. I understand that like some people have houses that get passed down through their family, through generations or whatever. They don't want to leave. But at a certain point, well, first of all, if you felt that way, you probably shouldn't have let them use the house for the show.
Well, maybe they didn't think it was going to be as
still
popular.
Fucked up. Still made a mistake. It became that popular. There's always an off chance that whatever, you know, TV show might explode. You don't know. They fucked up when they made that decision if they didn't plan on leaving. Because at this point, at the point where you're being regularly harassed, hundreds of visitors on a daily basis, like that's ruining your life. That's changed your whole life. Now this is a fucking problem you have to deal with constantly. Dude, sell the house to a superfan. You could probably get like triple the value from some psychotic Breaking Bad fan.
Oh, yeah, no, they could make a pretty penny off
of that for sure. Get the fuck out of there. Turn it into a goddamn museum or whatever. Maybe they have an HOA that doesn't allow them to or something, but they were able to build this big ugly ass fence outside.
Or just like rent it, like have people rent it out. Like,
turn it into an Airbnb.
Yeah.
Charge a fucking fortune. Do something. But you got to get out of there. You can't stay there.
Yeah, no, that sounds miserable.
Like Vince Gilligan should have to buy it. The creator of Breaking Bad. Or like, you know, fucking...
Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul.
Yeah, they could buy it and turn it into a whole tequila marketing situation for them.
There you go.
But God damn, I cannot believe these people just stayed in the house. We're like, we refuse to leave. It's like every day they were waking up and they could hear Breaking Bad like quotes being yelled outside their window. And they were like, eventually it's going to die down. Surely, eventually it will stop. And every day they kept telling themselves that it's going to stop soon. the pizzas will stop soon, the yelling will stop soon, and it just never did.
Nope, 11 years later, still going strong.
And they built the fence, and they're still getting fucking harassed. And I can't believe they're still there. It blew my mind. It blew my mind to see that this is still a thing that's popping up regularly.
Yeah, and this is something I see, like, every so often, like you said, like, it always, like, cycles through, like, the news stories, I feel like, every so often.
Yeah. Gets back in the content stream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people do this with, like, the Home Alone house.
Right, yeah, that's another really big one.
Dan, the ad salesman, has driven by it before.
Oh, yeah, because it's in Chicago.
Chicagoland area, yeah. But yeah, man, you gotta, that fucking family, you gotta get out of there. Don't do this to yourselves. And there's money to be had here. Just go. Go. Build yourself a Breaking Bad proof house. The opposite of this one. My God. Moving on. In sports news, March Madness started on Thursday of last week, and it's been a decent tournament so far. Very chalky. Lots of chalk, making Biden look like a genius with his chalky-ass bracket, and me, I guess, since I'm standalone first place in my bracket contest that I'm in. But a decent tournament so far, I would say, Cade. I don't know how much of it you've watched. I've watched a lot.
It's been on, but, like, I haven't really been paying too much attention.
You don't have a bracket this year?
No bracket.
You're not betting on it?
No. It's just, like, on at the bars that I go to, so I'll, like...
Ohio State's not in it.
No, they are doing well in the NIT, though. They made it to the third round now, so I got that going for us.
That's great. Everybody watches the NIT. Right. I did pretty well the first 4 days of March Madness, betting-wise. I hit a nice four-game parlay, which really is the entire reason I'm doing well. It saved my ass. But I had winning days on Thursday, Friday as well, because I hit that parlay. It was basically even on Saturday, and then I got my dick ripped off and thrown at me on Sunday, which, frankly, I always expect at least one of these days the first weekend of March Madness. I mean, for one, because I don't watch college basketball, so I don't know what I'm doing. It's just pure luck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going totally off of feel, which is not a good strategy for betting on sport. Or really
no, not
doing
betting,
it.
Betting-wise, no.
No, it's not a good idea. So I always expect to have at least one day that's just a brutal beating, and that day came for me on Sunday where I think I went like 2-6 or something. Just every game I was watching, I was like, oh, God, I'm on the wrong side of this. But now... What is it, Tuesday? I'm going through like the tournament withdrawals, like everyone else who goes all out for March Madness. This happens to me every year where that round two ends, and then there's that break before the Sweet 16 starts, this little dead period after the first weekend ends, and it absolutely sucks because you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with no games. I guess there are some women's games on. There were yesterday anyway.
So maybe
I need to get into that.
Yeah, I actually know like more about like women's college basketball than men's like this year, it seems like.
That's a lot of people, yeah, because of Caitlin Clark and like Angel Reese and...
Paige Buchers, whatever, UConn chick.
They have actual stars.
Yeah, like I can't name a single men's basketball player besides Zach Edey, and that's because he's been at Purdue for like 6 years now. The really tall dude.
Looks like an ogre.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yep. That's like the only
Everybody
one I can
Everybody
knows
think that
of.
Guy.
Yep.
Has he been there for six fucking years? Why
know,
is he the most...
Like, it seems like he has. It's just because I think he like started as a freshman and he's playing like every single year. So like,
and they've gone on deep runs, right?
No, they've actually notoriously like got upset in the first round last year, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they always get like out pretty early.
The choking often?
Yeah.
Early and often?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know that guy's face. Everybody knows him. No, yeah, for whatever
that's
reason,
about it.
Women's basketball definitely has more recognizable stars this year than men's.
Yeah. I don't know why that is, but like, I mean, it's good for the women's game. No,
let's go.
Keep growing it. Yeah.
Huge girl power. But yeah, this period, it's like when March Madness starts, especially the last few years, cause I have not been watching nearly as much basketball as I normally do. I never watch regular season college basketball, but I've usually watched a ton of NBA by the point March Madness comes around. I haven't watched as much cause the Rockets stink. The last few years, not this year. And March Madness comes on, and I get so used to watching basketball all day, every day, for 3-4 straight days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And it's gone. And it's really tough. I'm going through a hard time right now.
Yeah, there's not much else on right now.
Yeah, well, thankfully the Rockets have been crushing. They've won 9 in a row. 11 of their last 12, and they sit just a half game back of the Warriors to actually make the play-in tournament. So for the first time in over 3 years, I can fully pay attention to the Rockets without becoming depressed, and it's amazing, honestly. But they play at night. There's not, like, games all day, like with college basketball. It's, like, so it's been so nice to be able to watch meaningful basketball all day those four first days. And then it's kind of gone, and it never gets back to that spot because there's way less games in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and the Final Four.
No, you'll have, like, four games on at noon. And, like, for this week, it'll be, like, one at noon, one at three, one at six,
one at nine. And they're, like, staggered. Yeah, it's not quite the same. It's not the same chaos. Like, I definitely at some point, I guess when my kids are a little older, I want to go to Vegas. I want to do round one in Vegas and experience that. Because I've heard it's just absolute chaos, beautiful chaos. But yeah, so we've gotten past the best part of March Madness, and now we're into just the Sweet 16 and this dead space. But so until it continues, Cade, we're back to watching Pat McAfee all day, every day at the Bowling Media Content House. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Good stuff.
You love the program.
Oh, love me some Pat.
Speaking of March Madness, today's episode is also brought to you by MyBookie. The greatest time of the year for sports betting is upon us, with March Madness going hard in the paint, Sweet 16 starting Thursday, the NBA season heating up with the playoffs approaching, Major League Baseball opening day is also on Thursday, the Masters tournament is coming up, sports! If you're looking for a sports book or you want to switch to a sports book that sponsors your favorite podcast, MyBookie has everything you need. They've got fantastic and easy-to-use website that's great on desktop and mobile, so you can make your picks on the go. They've got live betting, odds boosts, super contests, all the major sports, basketball, F1, baseball, hockey, soccer, football, golf, even volleyball, tennis, esports. You can bet on esports now. Some of you don't even know what that means. Gaming, video games. On top of everything you can expect from a great sports book, MyBookie also has a live casino. MyBookie has it all. And right now, when you sign up using code ROSS to make your first deposit, you'll unlock a 50% sign-up bonus up to $1,000. So if you sign up and deposit $1,000, let's say, using code ROSS, they'll throw an additional $500 into your account for you to play with. Stipulations apply. Just head to mybookie.ag today and use code ROSS when you make your first deposit to unlock that 50% sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Stipulations apply, and enjoy all the madness that March and MyBookie have to offer. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. So a couple times a month, on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, I release a mental health minisode, which is a short, usually somewhere between 10 and 30 minute episode. Sometimes there's a couple of them in there that are like 45 minutes. The most recent one's like right under 10 minutes, I think. But I discuss a topic I find important to mental health and often just like life in general. It doesn't necessarily pertain specifically to mental health, but something that I have personal experience with, like signs your mental health is declining. There's an episode all about how to, you know, keep tabs on your mental health and make sure you know when it's declining. Or the importance of routine or retraining your brain after you go through something like a traumatic experience or event, whether it be like a breakup or a divorce or, you know, some kind of injury or situation or whatever. Or most recently, the episode I did was about being patient with your progress when you're on the road to self-improvement, when you're working on yourself. So to give you a feel for how these mental health minisodes go, I'm going to share that most recent episode about being patient with your progress right now. Enjoy.
Today, Junior!
Welcome back for another mental health minisode. I am Ross Bolin, and today I want to talk a bit about being patient with your progress. Over the last several years, really since I turned 30 years old 6 years ago, I have made an absolutely silly amount of changes in my life between quitting alcohol, quitting tobacco, getting off antidepressant medication, starting therapy, and really taking it seriously and working on myself. A lot of change has occurred. I realized I wasn't really happy with the adult I'd become, and I wanted to be better. I wanted to be healthier. I wanted to be happier. So I started making changes. And one of the issues I ran into when I began this journey was wanting my results immediately. Like looking myself in the mirror and still struggling, still wanting to go out and drink with my friends, still wanting to go buy a can of dip, still struggling with my mental health at times. I still had all these issues that would pop up, even though I was putting in the work. And it was incredibly frustrating. Still to this day, this is something I struggle with, the idea of being patient with your progress. Because the truth of the matter is, no real or meaningful change as a human being happens overnight. It cannot be done. It's not a thing. We might like to pretend it is, but it has been proven time and time again that real, meaningful change is established over long stretches of time, months, years, decades in some cases. And wanting immediate results is mostly a side effect of our culture obsessed with instant gratification, but it is not realistic. And in fact, the biggest problem isn't even that it's not realistic. It's unfair to yourself to expect that you can establish meaningful change overnight, because it's not going to happen. And then you're going to blame yourself and beat yourself up, or blame others, blame the world, whatever. The point is, you will not be happy if you believe that real, meaningful change can be established overnight. You have to think of it this way. If you decide you want to get into good shape, physical shape, fitness becomes a focus, you're going to start going to the gym today. Would you wake up tomorrow after one workout expecting to look at yourself in the mirror and see a totally shredded body with a six-pack and whatnot? Of course not. That would be silly as hell. If you want to get in great shape, you have to commit to it. You have to stick with it. And you have to work at it. And then, even if you obtain it, even if you get in fantastic shape and you look in the mirror and you see you've accomplished what you set out for, if you immediately abandon your workout routine and start living an unhealthy lifestyle again, guess what? Everything you worked for will eventually fade away. All that hard work will almost be for nothing. Because that's not how any of this works. Even once you've established healthy habits and a healthy routine, whether we're talking about physical health or mental health, the same thing applies. Once you've gotten what you want, it doesn't mean you can walk away from those habits and that routine. That's not, everything will go back to the way it was before if you do that. The results you get in life are a result of the work you put in every facet of the fucking thing. Professionally, personally, in relationships, with your mental health, with your physical health, with everything. Even video games, even something that's not necessarily considered healthy. Like if you don't practice, or sports, whatever analogy you want to use. If you don't practice, you will not play well. If you practice enough to start playing well and then you stop practicing, you're probably going to start to suck again. You've got to hold on to those routines, hold on to those habits that you build, and continue forward. And in the meantime, you have to be patient with your progress, especially when you're just getting started. If you realize, like I did, this isn't where I want to be. I'm not doing the things I want to do. I don't feel the way I want to feel on a day-to-day basis. The change that you seek will not come tomorrow. The results that you want will not be instantaneous. You have to be patient with your progress. You have to remember that you are on a journey to self-improvement. You have to remember that nothing worth doing is easy, that no real change happens overnight, and give yourself credit for trying at all along the way. Like, give yourself credit for the work you're putting in, for the subtle improvements you see and feel in yourself, for having the wherewithal to know you needed to change at all, because sadly, most people never have that light bulb moment. Most people never have a day or something that occurs to them that says, holy shit, I need to change. This isn't it. I know I'm better than this. I know I can be better than this. I know I can feel better than this. I know I can act better than this, whatever it may be. A lot of people never have that light bulb go off. So for you to even be on the journey, on the path at all, to start on it, is something you should be really, really proud of. And you have to carry that with you along the way as you go down that path, on that journey. Every day, you got to give yourself credit. If you do this, the journey will be less painful. I know this because I was terrible at this, and it made the journey more painful. And as I've gotten better at it, change gets easier for me to implement. It's not such a struggle. And when I have moments like earlier today, I worked out this morning for the first time in a few weeks because I've been sick, and that's a big period of time off for me. And when I work out, your blood pressure gets going, your heart gets pumping, your body's feeling different, you know, strain than it has over the last few weeks. And for me, that usually causes anxiety. So for a couple of hours, I felt really anxious after I worked out. And I noticed for maybe one of the first times ever that this happened, I didn't allow myself to get really frustrated by it. I didn't allow myself to get down about it. I just acknowledged okay, I know why this is happening, right? I've been here before, but it's because I'm doing something positive for myself, in this case, working out, and I move forward, right? So giving yourself credit makes things so much easier. It makes the journey more enjoyable. And along the way to getting those results you seek, you'll feel more motivated to continue doing what you are doing if you are giving yourself that credit, if you feel that pride in the journey. So be patient with your progress. The real results come in time. Sure, there are small incremental improvements along the way, whether you're talking mental or physical health or whatever it may be. You'll start to see the positive things coming from your work, but the real results are much longer term. And that's another thing that can trip people up. If you start on the path to self-improvement and then you start to see results, that doesn't mean you're done, because the real results are way further down the road. So be patient with your progress. All right, there are 41 individual mental health minisodes available now on RBP Patreon. To access them all, go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Subscribe and join the Enforcer tier to support our show and gain access to all our ad-free exclusive content and mental health minisodes. Obviously, outside of the mental health minisodes, Kate and I do an ad-free exclusive episode of RBP every week that's available only on Patreon as well, where we take hotline calls from the RBP gang on 888-WR-BOLIN. And we respond to our listeners and their calls. We have a lot of fun. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Shopify. Chappelle and Neil, Key and Peele, Faye and Poehler, Setup and Punchline. So what about the perfect duo when it comes to growing your business? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow, whether you're selling merchandise for your podcast or making handmade kaleidoscopes. Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can focus on successfully growing your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Selling merchandise for our podcast here at Bolin Media, it's a nice little supplemental revenue source for us, allowing us to provide our biggest fans and supporters with shirts and hats and coffee mugs that they can wear and use in real life to show their support for our shows here. And Shopify can be the platform that enables you to connect with all your supporters in the same way. I've used Shopify extensively. It is amazing. It's very easy. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to help you and support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/RBP, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/RBP now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/RBP. Again, remember, all lowercase. Link and details for that in the description of this episode as well. All right, let's close out on as dark and disturbing a note as possible.
Sure.
Cade, you watched the new documentary, Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And now, I've seen some of the headlines around this. It's my understanding that it's mostly related to Nickelodeon.
Yes, solely focused on Nickelodeon, like the shows running from the 90s up until like the mid to late 2000s.
So the stuff I grew up on.
Okay, yeah, I was about to ask you, like, I know you're really old, but like, did you like watch Nickelodeon like growing up as a kid at all? Was it like a
Thing? I was massively into Nickelodeon. Okay. So like Rugrats and Doug were probably my favorites.
Yep.
I watched a silly amount of those, but Hey Arnold as well. A lot of Cat Dog.
Okay.
Legends of the Hidden Temple. Are You Afraid of the Dark? I mean, I was deep into Nickelodeon. And then, honestly, even Nick at Night.
Oh, yeah. Nick at Night
was great.
Which had
all the throwbacks on it. Like, I Love Lucy. Like, I don't know how I was understanding
George
any
Lopez.
Of the comedy, but yeah, I didn't watch any of George Lopez. I fucking hate George Lopez.
Oh, you weren't a fan of
Well, George Lopez was on regular cable.
Oh, okay, yeah.
When I was growing up, and then when you were growing up, he moved over to Nick at Night.
Same with like Home Improvement. That was another one.
That was on Nick at Night.
Yeah.
See, there's a decade of difference between us.
Yeah.
Keenan and Kel, I watched. You know, like yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Basically, this documentary, kind of like, not so much like the cartoons, but like more like their live shows.
The ones that had actual people,
like child actors. Yeah. It's it basically like uncovers like the like toxic work culture that went on like behind the scenes at like these shows, especially with the child actors.
And there's like one guy specifically.
Yeah, Dan Schneider, like the kind of like the mastermind behind like all these iconic shows, like All That, The Amanda Bynes Show, Drake and Josh, iCarly, and like a few others like throughout those years. And yeah, it kind of turns out that Dan Schneider was a huge piece of shit, kind of not a great guy.
Man.
Yeah, a lot of like. A lot of the things they focus on is like just like how they just like the amount of stuff they put these like kids through, and it's like a lot of like sexual jokes like sprinkled throughout these shows that like, you know, as kids like on the show they
didn't really know what they were saying even.
And then like as kids watching, like you had no idea really, but like all the adults would like pick up on it. There's like, they even do like a compilation like throughout the series, and it's just like there's really like cum shot jokes, like it's so fucked up,
just sprinkled into the Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah. And like again, like you don't even, sorry Siri,
dude, mine lit up too. What did we say that Siri, if we say cum shot, does Siri come alive?
Not that time.
That was weird though. Both of those series went off.
But yeah, it's very dark, and like they get all these like former stars of the show. It was, like, it started off with All That, like their original run, just like talking about like the things they had to do in order to like, I don't know, like get on the show, and the stuff they were put through like while they're on the show, and like, you know. It's such like a big opportunity for some of these kids, like, you know, being on like a big network like Nickelodeon, like, you know, they don't want to lose that opportunity. So
right,
they're kind of like putting themselves through like,
it's kind of really, like the situation with like Harvey Weinstein, right? He was like one of the biggest producers in Hollywood. So, you know, these women that he ended up, you know, abusing, they didn't want to blow their shot.
Yeah, and they didn't want to, like, tell someone because, yeah. Like,
he's so powerful that he could destroy your career.
Yeah, you could never work again. Like, it was really, like, that's, like, the power that Dan Schneider had, too.
But over children.
Over children. And, like, they do talk to, like, some, like, the adults that, like, were, like, some of the writers. Like, they also, like, know there's, like, sexual, like, misconduct. And, like, he was, like, no, like, making, like, bunch of remarks to them as well, and like again, like they felt like they couldn't like say anything about it because, you know, like it's like, oh, it's such a great opportunity to work here, and like they thought if they said anything, like they
people
could never
won't believe me, I'll get in trouble.
So yeah, it's just like very eye opening because like I grew up watching all these shows and like to like now like find out like all this like terrible shit went on behind the scenes. Like they even like there's one episode like I don't want to get into like too much spoilers, but like there's episodes.
Well, I don't think
like,
it counts as spoilers in this case because it's just documenting something that happened.
But like there are like actual pedophiles that like worked on the set and were in these shows with
what
these kids.
What the fuck?
That yeah, like again, like no one knew. Like there's one worker that like they like really told this dude like yeah, someone on one of the shows got like sexually assaulted. And he's like, what, on our shows? Like he like had no idea. And
it sounds like one of the guys was like a dialogue coach.
Yeah, it was like yeah, like an acting coach or something. And like another one was like just like a production assistant or something like that. And then like the. I guess like the main focus was like about that child actor that like got sexually assaulted and ended up being Drake Bell, who from Drake and Josh, and he's also on the Amanda Bynes show and maybe all that at some point.
So one of their like biggest actors.
Yeah.
During that period anyway. So that was like right after like Drake and Josh was when I was getting a little older.
Yeah.
And like was phasing out of Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. like moving on to like MTV.
Right.
Which was way healthier.
Of course.
Spring break. But yeah, dude, we don't have to talk about this right now, but just as an aside, I don't know if it existed for you, but like spring break on MTV was such an absurd thing that when you were a kid and like it was like showcasing like college spring break.
Right. Yeah.
So when you're in high school and you don't really have like you have spring break, sure. But it's just like you and your boys running around the neighborhood. You don't go to like fucking Cancun and do cocaine off of, you know, somebody's ass. but the MTV spring break experience, it was like the early iteration of the Ice Spice twerking videos. It was just in your fucking face all day.
Mm-hmm.
It was wild. Anyway, back to this documentary.
Yeah, I do like, I remember that like a little bit, but I think they're kind of like toning it down at that point where I like was tuning in. But there's actually one part was like so fucked, but also like kind of funny in like a fucked up way. But like one of the dudes that ended up being a pedophile, he was like having like all the kids over and their parents over for like a party or something.
Like at his house?
Yeah. And again, this before like any of them knew like what was going on. And one of the kids sees like a painting of a clown. And he asks the guy like, yo, like what is this? And he says, oh, it's like a portrait of John Wayne Gacy that John Wayne Gacy like made.
He bought one of the John Wayne Gacy clown paintings?
Yeah. And then he ended up saying,
that's usually a red flag.
Yeah, he ended up saying like, oh yeah, we're like pen pals too. And he told this to all the parents too. And they just like, oh, that's cool. I guess that's pretty neat. Like,
how eccentric.
Yeah. Like, not like a red flag went off.
That's a huge fucking red flag. That's crazy. Yeah. John Wayne Gacy, obviously a notorious serial killer.
Yeah.
He also served. He had a job as a clown at children's parties.
Yeah.
And then he painted himself as that clown, which I can't remember the name of. I'll look it up. He painted himself as the clown, and like those paintings have been sold a lot to freak shows like that guy.
Yeah. But man, it was just like so fucked up.
Pogo the clown.
Pogo?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's just like a lot more scenes where like it's just like, holy fuck, like how was this like allowed to go on? And like, again, it's like the adults on set like didn't want to say anything or like didn't think anything of it because, I don't know, they just wanted to keep their jobs.
Well, that's part of it. It's like, it's a lot of these people were experiencing pretty big success. It's like Nickelodeon was a huge, huge deal, man. Mm-hmm. It was far and away the biggest producer of children's entertainment in the fucking world.
Yeah.
So to risk your job, I mean, it was like selfish, obviously, not good to not say anything. Or I think there's like a level of it's like denial.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to admit, I feel like something weird's going on here. Mm-hmm. Because if you know, what if you're wrong?
Right.
Right? That too.
Yeah, and like Drake Bell said, like he was like one of the few people that knew like something weird was going on, and he like tried to like say something about it, but like no one was really listening to him, which is really fucked. And like another thing is like just like all the child stars they interviewed after the fact, they're like, yeah, no, this like scarred me. Like, you know, like a lot of them, like you see it to this day, like on Nickelodeon, Disney, like the child actors, like, they're like so fucked up after
they have issues. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of mental health issues, like drinking and smoking, like drug abuse and all that. It's because of like how they were treated on these sets. And it's just, yeah, it's fucked up seeing it. Like, it paints like a very negative light on, you know, a program that like I really enjoyed watching when I was growing up. And yeah, it sucks.
This is a perfect example of a documentary that I would like to know about, and the knowledge, like, of what occurred, you know, like, read some articles, listen to Cade talk about it for a bit. No way I'm watching it. There's just no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Because you said, I think you said it was four parts?
It's four parts, and then I just saw today that it sounds like they're doing a fifth part. It's called Breaking the Silence. So I don't know who, like, it sounds like they're going to get another big person.
Somebody's going to come forward, like, yeah. The way that.
Like, I don't know if it's going to be, like, Amanda Bynes or something, because she, like. Like, well, she was actually like Dan Schneider's, like, you know, like prodigy, like almost like he thought Jesus. She was like the one that was gonna, you know, take him like to like the next step in his career.
And so like, people suspect Amanda Bynes might be the next person to come. Like,
I'm just saying that, like, because that'd be like the biggest one that I could think of, that like, you know, was there like during when all this stuff happened.
But it's your guess somebody's gonna come out on this one like Drake Bell did in the
yeah
first three parts.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. So,
I mean, seriously, great. But also, like, I'm not watching this.
Yeah.
That's too dark.
Dude. Yeah, I watched it just because I was like, you know, again, like I grew up watching Nickelodeon. I'm like, okay, I kind of want to hear like what actually like went down, even though I knew it was gonna like ruin it for me. So yeah, maybe don't watch it if you like don't want it ruined for you, but like I think it's like,
well, it's ruined anyway. It's like that's the thing. I think it's important to know stuff like this. I'm saying watching a documentary is a different thing than just knowing.
Yeah.
Watching the documentary is like that in and of itself can be kind of traumatizing to think about, you know, all these things that were going on in this program that you watched like hours and hours and hours of your childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just like I said, like one the end up like guys that being a pedophile, like they were on the show, like a reoccurring character and stuff.
Fuck.
And it's just, yeah, so weird. Like, because at the time, like, you, like, I remember seeing that guy
on Drake and Josh.
Not Drake and Josh. Well, oh, this was like he wanted to be like the dad of that show. And this is like after like the stuff with Drake happened, and like obviously it was like, fuck no, like absolutely not. But no, he's like on the Amanda Bynes show and all that, I think. And just, yeah, you just like pop up randomly. Also, like another thing they showed was like they had celebrities. Like I think like Jerry Seinfeld was on one of them and Kobe Bryant. And like they were also interacting with this dude.
What the hell?
So it's
crazy.
It is wild to like see that person. Like, oh, wow. You had no idea. It's it's pretty messed up.
Damn.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's like I was thinking about this the other day. I can't remember what got me on this train of thought, but it's kind of a wild decision for a parent to like put their kid in a position like that. First of all, just to deal with fame that young seems. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're gonna go that route, you better also have like a ton of support for them. They should probably be in therapy, like,
yeah,
just preventatively or like, you know, proactively or whatever. Because that's such a fucking, like, I don't know if I would, like, if somebody came to my door and was like, "Your son is the next baby star. We're gonna put him on the TV and give you $1 billion." I would probably be like, "Go fuck yourself." Like, especially now with Hollywood's reputation being what it is, like, it's and us having as much evidence as we do of what happens to young people who are exposed to that industry, like, bro, fuck no, like that's crazy. And people always give child stars a hard time. Oh, all these child stars are all fucked up. Yeah, because the adults that were in charge of them were abusing them in a lot of cases, or like at the very least mistreating them, right? So like, yeah, it's fuck that.
Yeah, and like. Yeah, what they did at Nickelodeon, they kind of, like, created like a little Hollywood for like just like the child stars, because like you
which
know
is so creepy to think about.
Yeah, because like you know, like I grew up, like I knew like all those child yeah, actors, yeah. And I was like, oh my god, they're so cool. Like
those were our celebrities.
Yeah,
you know.
And so yeah, it's fun.
See, that didn't really exist for me. Y'all's generation was like the first one. This was because my little brother's 5 years younger than me,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed this with him. Like he watched shows on Nickelodeon that had actual fucking people in them.
Right.
I watched shows on Nickelodeon that were animated.
Yeah, or like...
I thought it was weird when all of a sudden there were shows that were like, you know, where all these child stars were born. Disney did the same thing.
Yeah, Disney's like another one. Like, I imagine like they might have a documentary at some point too, because a lot of them got fucked up
that's
too.
That's crazy. It's one of the things that happens with these situations like with the Me Too movement. All it took was a few different women coming forward, and the next thing you know, there's a snowball.
Mm-hmm.
And holy shit, it's revealed there's this enormous underlying issue that people have hidden and buried and needs to be resolved.
Yeah. And that's
what's going to happen here.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to Dan Schneider, because like people started coming out about like all the things he was doing like on set and like what he was saying to mostly like the female workers there. And just, yeah, no, he kind of got like fucked over because, well, not fucked over, like
he got what he deserved.
Yeah, he got what he deserved finally, because like these women felt like they were able to finally like speak up and say something about it.
So Dan Schneider, the main guy who was kind of running the shows, I guess it sounds like the most powerful of them,
mm-hmm.
was he abusing kids too?
No, no one ever said he. Well,
he was just,
no, actually no. He was pretty weird with kids. Well, one thing he did was like always ask for like a massage. So from like female coworkers and like sometimes kids, I think. But like also he's just like really up in like their personal space, and like you could like see behind the scenes like videos and stuff, like you could just see some of them were like really like
clenching
uncomfortable.
Up around him.
Yeah. But yeah, there's something else one of the things that didn't document that you see in a lot of them is like when they're talking about like a bad person or they're like, oh, no, this person, like, I thought he was, like, such a good guy and all that. And then they, like, cut to a photo of the person and, zoom in and do, like, that, like, weird, like, creepy music, whatever. They did that, like, so many times. Like, it seemed like they didn't have enough, like, B-roll footage or, like, pictures and stuff. So they just, like, kept reusing the same stuff over and over again.
Same effect.
And, yeah, they just kept doing that same effect. So it was just, that was interesting to see, but I was like, oh, yeah, they do that all the time.
Oh, my God. But, well, fucking Nickelodeon, man. Fucking even Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
What a terrible story. Mm-hmm. Wild. But, yeah, that documentary, Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, where did you watch it?
On HBO.
Okay, so it's on Max.
Yeah.
Looks like it's also on Discovery Plus and Fubo TV, just in case anybody listening wants to go watch the whole thing. Like I said, not something I'm going to partake in. I'm probably going to read a couple more columns about it, and then that'll be it. Because, I don't want to, that's such a downer, dude. That's such a downer.
And I watched it all in one night, too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like.
You went way too deep.
Almost like 3 hours of, just watching horrible shit unfold.
And there's this thing that a lot of us do, too. Is I apply, like, the Black Mirror rule. For true crime stuff, which this applies, that's true crime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do more than one episode a night. Because I don't want to become depressed.
Yeah.
Black Mirror will fuck you up. And watching four parts of a Nickelodeon child abuse doc, probably the same rule should apply, kid.
Yeah, I probably should. Yeah,
just next time,
next time there's a...
Next time.
With the Disney one. I'll just do one episode a night. Yeah.
You'll know to space it out, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm glad we ended on this happy note. That'll do it for today's show. Please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes and URLs. That is how we pay the piper here at Bolin Media. You can find links to all of the sponsors for today's episode in the description below. To check out our other shows, go to bolinmedia.com. Oysters, Clams, and Cockles is our TV and film podcast hosted by myself and Mr. Barrett Dudley, where right now we are covering Shogun from Hulu/FX. It's a great show. We're having a blast. 5 episodes through. Episode 6 dropped last night, and our episode 6 companion podcast will drop tomorrow afternoon. If you're an F1 fan, Jared Borslow, otherwise known as J-Bone, is doing his coverage of every single race all season long, which really runs for the rest of the year. I think December at some point is the last F1 race of the season. Crazy race this past weekend in Australia. Max Verstappen did not win, believe
it or
not. Didn't
even finish the race.
Didn't even finish the race. Craziness ensued. Go check out Formula Bone on youtube.com/@FormulaBone for J-Bone's previews and recaps of all the races all F1 season long. Formula Bone is also available on all the major podcast platforms and follow on social media at Formula Bone. If you're a Houston sports fan, check out Banging the Can, where my most recent episode gets into the Rockets' big turnaround in the month of March and also the Texans' free agency and offseason moves. Banging the Can, also available on all the major podcast platforms, plus youtube.com/@Banging the Can. Follow me, Ross Bolin, on X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram at WR Bolin. Mr. Orris, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Cade Orris. That's KadeOrris.
This episode of the Ross Bolin Podcast is presented by Bolin Media. Until next time, remember, you are not alone. Peace be with you, and also with you.
Go low, baby.